All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And if you've ever wondered what it's like to leave a stable career, dive into real estate, and involve your kids in the journey, today we have Brittany Krasnarek from Southeast Pittsburgh sharing her story of unconventional success using creative financing. Get ready for some inspiration. Welcome to the show, Brittany. And I apologize for that last name. I did my best.
Hey, you did a really good job. Thank you for having me, Bryce. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell me about the journey. You know, a lot of people talk about the golden handcuffs and how it is difficult to leave a stable career to, you know, essentially like chase your dreams and move into something that's control of your time. Like, what was that like?
So I think a lot of people think it happens overnight and it doesn't. You know, there's when we first got started, my husband and I, we were both working full time. My husband was a carpenter at the time. So he was working, you know, sometimes 12 hour days, 6, 7 days a week. We had two little babies and I was working as a nurse. So for the first 2 years, I would say we did both. We, you know, burned the candle at both ends. We worked full time and then on weekends and evenings, we were working at our properties. So, you know, those beginning couple years were hard, but during that time, kind of knowing our why, knowing that we were doing this for our kids so that we could ultimately spend time with them was what kept us going. And then, we sort of transitioned out of it slowly. I left my job in 2021 to, kind of focus a little bit more on the business. And I sort of took things over at that point. And then in January of this year, actually, is when my husband decided that he had just had enough and he wasn't happy anymore. You know, he was working a lot, wasn't around with the kids. And, you know, that's the goal of life is to be around them. And we just weren't doing that. So we had a couple good deals in the mix. We're about 4 years in at this point. And he just said, you know what, I'm putting my 2 weeks in. And the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to go back to the same job that I already don't like. So here we are.
Yeah, that's especially when they're young. As a parent, before you know it, they're going to be moving out. It's like all of a sudden it's like, boom, and they're 17 and they're moving out. So, you know, time flies when you're having fun and you want to make sure you're there for those impressionable years. So how old are the kids now to give people perspective? 4, 6, 8, something like that.
My son is 8 and my daughter is 5. And we actually started talking about getting into real estate as we were driving to the hospital to have my daughter. So she's been in it since she was basically born.
So how do you involve them? How do you, you know, teach them the business a little bit? Because I think that's really important that I always try to do that and be like, look, you know, be aware of these possibilities.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to keep it sort of fun for them. They're still young and they're still learning and we don't want to make it too much work and no play because then, you know, kids only can do so much. Yeah. But they've been coming to houses with us since they were little. You know, my son was like 2.5 and my daughter was just a baby. So when they were little like that, you know, we'd bring a playpen, we'd throw a bunch of toys and snacks in and give them some paintbrushes with water and let them go to town on the walls. As they've gotten older though, we give them little jobs. Sometimes it'll be something as simple as just giving them the phone and having them walk around and do like a tour. My son goes with my husband now and helps him put floors in. That's kind of his specialty and just sweeping up the floors, painting, you know, little things here and there. And then, this year we actually let my son name one of our LLCs. So he got to name it. He got to sign a contract. He got to come with us to the first closing. And, you know, we made it a really big deal, made him feel important about it. So it's kind of what we're at right now.
So I think that's awesome. You know, making sure that they're, you know, part of the process and really just letting them know that there's more opportunities out there. Because it's not often is real estate discussed in the schooling system at all. They might teach you about mortgages one time in grade 11 or grade 12. So what would you say, you know, after being in the business and actually being able to get out of the regular 9-to-5 grind, it typically takes some sort of unfair advantage to become successful. As Robert Kiyosaki says, What's something that comes easy to you guys that maybe other people might find difficult to do?
Well, we did not come from a family of, anyone that does this. We're the first one. People still kind of think we're crazy. I would say one big advantage that we do have is the fact that my husband is a carpenter. He's been in that trade for, I think it was about 14, 15 years when we got started. So, you know, him having that knowledge was very helpful for us. And then I would say, I know a lot of people that I talk to, they don't know anything about construction. And when we got started, I didn't either. And it was nice having him to be like, hey, like, teach me about this. What's this? Cause I knew literally nothing. So I think that's probably one thing that we did have in our favor was him having all that knowledge.
Yeah, it's nice to have the in-house carpenter to step in, and you're not subjected to a contractor maybe that you don't trust. So as things rolled along, where are things now for you guys? You know, you'd mentioned that before the show, we were talking a little bit that you've got most of the capital that you need and things are moving quickly. And just a few minutes ago, you mentioned that you had a couple deals that were looking pretty good. Has he had to go back to work? Has that even been a thought? Are things moving quickly? Where are things going these days?
Yeah, it's still a thought every day. When things get hard, we're like, maybe we take the easy way and we go back to getting a job. But we both know deep down that, that is like the absolute last resort. So when he quit, it was basically the new year. It started in January of 2023. Mm-hmm. And we just set a huge goal. I mean, the last 4 years prior to that, we bought 3 or 4 houses a year. We mainly focused on buy and hold rentals. So we weren't doing anything super crazy. 2021, we did buy a short-term rental on Airbnb in Pennsylvania in like a ski resort area. So that was kind of our main focus for a while. And then I actually, when I left my nursing job, I joined a team that did mainly creative financing, and they did wholesaling, they did lease options, they did a little bit of everything and taught me a lot. So that was kind of what prompted me to really say, hey, I can do this. We can grow this business and make it something that can sustain us. So this past year, our goal was to do 23 deals in 2023. And, I think we're at about 16 right now. So I'm not sure we're going to hit that, but I mean, the fact that we did that many is a great feat going from doing 4, 3 or 4 a year. So we do kind of a combination now of still buy and hold rentals as our kind of bread and butter. We do a little bit of wholesaling. We're actually working right now on our first true fix and flip. We've done like some wholetails. But yeah, we just kind of do a little bit of everything. We're sort of shifting as the market changes. We did the Burr method a lot, and now with the rates going up, we're just sort of maneuvering to make it work for where the economy is at right now. And, we'll just keep shifting as it goes.
Yeah. I remember in front of my high school, they had the like signboard and it said shoot for the moon and land in the stars, so I always love the 23 and 23, because like, oh no, we only did 16 deals. It's like 16 deals is something that people aspire to have in a career, not in a year. So congratulations on with all that you've accomplished so far. What would you say is your biggest obstacle these days?
Oh, well, thank you. First of all, we were very excited and proud that we made it that far. I would say the biggest obstacle, honestly, is, I mean, everything, but, finding good people to work, finding the right banks to go through and whatnot, but really just, we had to relearn as a couple how to, work together one-on-one all day long. And it's like, we keep playing catch up because we keep going faster than we can catch up to ourselves. And it's just, making sure that you grow, but also making sure that you stay grounded and you get your systems and stuff in place before you go too fast. I'd say that's been our biggest hurdle this year, is just getting those systems into place, learning how to, I was handling a lot of things, and now that he's working full time with me, letting him take on some roles and just figuring out who does what. That's kind of been our biggest hurdle this year for us, I would say.
Yeah, it's being uncomfortable with being, or being comfortable with being uncomfortable is really what scaling is all about, because, man, you guys are at a breakneck speed. So with all these deals, how do you fund that many projects in a year?
So a couple different ways. When we got started, I had no clue about funding whatsoever. Okay. I just sort of started calling banks. And I learned the initial way we had bought our first couple rentals was through a home equity line of credit on our personal residence. In the area that we live, which is just south of Pittsburgh, we're able to get houses for like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, which I know is unheard of in most areas in the
country. You're preaching to the choir. I know it very well. And believe it, at the time of this recording, still a thing out there, guys. You know,
yeah,
still.
It is. So we were fortunate that we were able to use that for a while. And then as we grew our portfolio, we grew a lot of equity in those properties. So we were able to add on to those lines of credits. So for those who are just starting out, that's a great way to use short-term funding if you're not necessarily ready to jump into the hard money, private money land. Mm-hmm. We actually just started using our first private money lender this past year. And the only reason that we did is because we grew so fast. And your lines of credit can only get you so far. So we just started telling everybody. Anyone I met, I was like, hey, like, I'm looking for capital. Here's what I do. And eventually I found, two different people that were lending money. And I just created like a very simple, here's what I've done so far. Here's my expertise. You know, here's some samples of properties that we've done. Let me know what information you need from me. And it was just a very honest conversation, and I'm still working with them. You know, we've done four or five deals together now. And then of course, creative financing is the ultimate goal. We just closed on our second or third 0% financing using creative financing and having the sellers hold the note for us. So we're actually doing a fix and flip right now that we did with no money down, no interest, and we're paying the seller $400 a month principal only while we fix the property up.
Yeah, that sounds like some creative financing, definitely, because the terms really are what is exciting, because you know, a lot of people will just default to the mentality of I'm going to just go and buy this and get some money and buy it. But what about the person who already owns it? Like, why don't you talk to them and open up that conversation? Because you'd be surprised how often there's an opportunity, especially in someone who owns the property for 10 or 15 years. Like, go back 15 years and think, what did they pay for that? Mm-hmm. Not much compared to what it's worth today. So what have you found to be, you're mentioning that you go out there and you're talking to this person and that person about capital. What have you found to be the most effective way to keep in touch with those investor prospects?
So a little over a year ago, I started running my own monthly meetup for local investors, which wasn't, there were some in our area, but because I'm outside of the city about 30 minutes, a lot of them were in the city. And, you know, during the weekdays when you have kids and you're running all over creation, you don't have time to drive into the city for 2 hours for a meetup. So yeah. I started my own, and I've networked with a lot of really great people doing that. And it kind of established myself as someone who, you know, has experience in what I'm doing. So people come to me and they bring me deals and, you know, offer capital in exchange for learning how to, you know, just be a part of buying a rental, renovating and whatnot. I would say definitely mentorships. People, I think there's a big stigma sometimes around mentorships, and there are some people out there who maybe aren't that good, but you know, we take our time and we've joined quite a few, and that's definitely been a big help. And just, you know, being like the two lenders that I do work with, one I actually asked to come speak at my event. So I got to know them a little bit more personal level. The other one, you know, I send updates when working on properties. I'll send them some before and after pictures and just say, hey, you know, here's some progress. Here's what's going on. And I'm just very open and honest. Anything they want to know, I answer. And I think having that open relationship with them is what, you know, you're selling yourself. You are selling a deal, but they have to trust you and feel confident in you in order to work with you.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that always comes up when you're raising capital, especially when you're trying to attract capital, is, you know, with people investing significant amounts of money with you, they have to know you. They ultimately have to like you and, you know, trust you. The like, no trust kind of bang that drum to death, but it's never more true than when you're raising capital. So what are some ways that maybe some tips that you could give to people that you've had success with as far as building up that like, no trust relationship with your lenders.
Absolutely. So what I did is, I think it's like I mentioned before, I came up with like a really small sort of package that I can send to people to show them, just some properties and projects that I've done. I keep it very simple. It's like 1 to 2 pages. Page one tells a little bit about me, my family, what we've done, our story, a couple of pictures of us and the kids working on the properties, just so they can see that, we are a family-oriented company. And then I give three examples of three different deals that we've done. Includes before and after pictures, just scopes of work, what we bought the property for, what we felt it appraised for. Just showing that, we have the experience of understanding how to run the numbers. And most of the people I've sent that to really appreciate that. They like that you keep it very simple, but they can also see that, you've done some stuff before. I didn't use a private lender or raise capital in the beginning. So I guess when you're first starting out, it might be a little tougher to do something like that. But just show people who you are. We do social media. We have a Facebook page where we share our projects, and I also refer people back to that. And then just, I tell people, I say, look, your money is more important to me than my own money. Whatever questions you have for me, I want you to feel as comfortable with me as possible. So, just presenting that, don't try to hide anything. And then the one lender, actually, I took her around one day and showed her a few of my properties. We just drove around. I said, here's one, here's what we did. And they liked being able to physically see what we did. So we are a little bit more on a personal level with ours. Some people like that, some people don't, but for us, it's been very beneficial.
So you'd mentioned before the show that you guys are really rolling out some social media for people to really dive into the brand. Tell me a little bit more about your plans on that, and what's that looking like these days?
Yeah. So when we really first got started, like I said, we had no friends, we had no family, no one that's been really involved in real estate except for one guy that my husband knew, and that's who kind of helped us. And I was seeking out other people. I was like, who can I talk to? Who can I ask questions? Just simple things. And so I said, well, I can't find anyone, so I'm gonna make my own. And I started sharing on Instagram, just what I'm going through, struggles, wins, losses. Things that work for me, things that don't work for me. And it's kind of been going for the last couple of years now. And now I really share processes that we use. I give some free things away and just really showing people the day-to-day life of how we've gotten to where we are. So we have the Instagram, and then we're actually in the process of starting up a YouTube channel. Same thing, we're just sharing very basic questions that I think a lot of people have when they first get started, but they don't necessarily know where to find the answers to.
Yeah, and you had mentioned that you share a lot of the different systems and tools that you use on a day-to-day basis to kind of simplify that. Because 16 and 23, you got to have some systems there to manage, like a CRM or something like that, because you can't just do that in a book or a piece of paper.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do share one of the CRMs that we use, and I didn't even know what that was at first. But it's a way to manage all of the leads that are coming in, keep notes on different properties, on different people that you're talking to. So, I share just sort of tips and tricks on how I utilize that, how I use it in my short-term rentals, how I use it in my new leads. I share some tips on how to screen tenants, just real simple basic things that I think a lot of people, like I said, they don't know where to find. And then when they see it, they don't even know it exists until they see someone using it. And then they're like, oh, wow, I wish I had that. That's so simple. So all those things you can find on there. And I'm very open to DMs. People can message me, ask me questions. I hop on calls with people all the time and talk through deals.
Awesome. Well, then that kind of leads us to the obvious question and kind of the end of the interview here, which has been amazing. But how do they get to that Instagram? What's the Instagram? What's the web page? How can they find you? What do they do to connect with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram is at Brittany, BrittneyKREI. That's where I'm most active, where you can, message me or just go through all of my information there. I share a lot of tips and different apps and programs that I use. And then at Brittany Krasnarek, which I know is a little tough to spell,
Spell
on
it for the people at home, because they're
YouTube.
going to be listening in the car and they're going to be like, I don't know. to spell it for him.
Go to the Instagram, but I will spell
Yeah.
it. Last name is Krznaric, Krznaric.
There it is. So yeah, I really like the tips that you gave around getting started in the markets that are affordable, and you were able to roll that money for quite a while before you had to start bringing in and also the package, the small package there that can really help you as an investor to have like a little thing put together. Because someone, if you're doing real estate, if you've done even a little bit, someone's going to ask you, hey, how do I get involved? And it's better to be ready than not. So I really appreciate your tips and the story. It was amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.